and welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show here on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. That is the NCRA stations across Canada and British Columbia. I'm Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Michael Rubin Clogs. And it's really wet out there.
It is wet. It's like somebody forgot to turn off the shower in the morning, you know?
Yeah.
Jeez. So,
yes,
and I had a bunch of stuff to do before I actually got here. So by the time I got parked and everything, because there's only like one stall left for me to park,
right?
And it was like so I didn't even have a chance to grab my my jacket before running over here. So I had to run over here with just my suit on in the rain. It was like. Jeez.
And right. We are expecting a call?
Yes, we are expecting a call. We're expecting a call from a young lady named Talia Sage.
Okay.
And do we have her?
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, hi, everyone.
Okay. Then we'll finish doing Talia's introduction. Talia is the founder of Sweet and Savory Health. And she is correct me if I get any of this wrong, Talia. She is a certified nutritional practitioner, and she majored in food and nutrition and health. That was that here at UBC or somewhere else?
Yes, right here at UBC.
Yeah, it was at UBC. Talia's coaching program helps her clients reclaim their health waistline. Yay, I get my waistline back. I got to give up the caffeine though. No more coffee. Okay, it's seriously achieve caffeine-free energy with through easy, measurable nutrition lifestyle tips, and by taking one sweet and savory bite at a time. So,
Having me, Michael, on your show today, and thank you, Kelly.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So, I guess it's for every. This is radio, so no one can actually see your brilliant and bright smile. Mm. And she's got and along with this, she's so healthy that she has a sparkle to her eyes too. Mm. So you mind if I tell the story of how we met?
We met through Joy TV, where Michael is a producer on Joy TV, where the purpose is to really share our passion for wellness with a larger audience. We have the goal of reaching millions of people to help them thrive and live their healthiest life. Mm. So I really connected with Michael right away through our shared vision to help providing those insights for a larger audience. So that's how we met, and Michael invited me to be here today on your radio. So yeah. I'm so honored.
It was a really cool connection when Talia was a member of the studio audience for the Balanced Living TV show. So, and she connected with me after the show, and we had a really cool conversation then, and we decided that she'd be a really cool fit for today, and she was available. Wow. So
everything happened for a reason, and I really am excited to share the message to our audience today. So
very good.
So, you have a really cool story about why it is that you actually do what you do, especially around nutrition and health and everything, right? And do you mind if we share some of that story about what brought you to nutritional coaching?
I'd love to. So, like Michael said, you guys probably can't see me how tall I am. Just to give you guys a rough idea, I'm about 5 feet, 1 inches and a half, and I'm that puts me in the petite category. I'm a very petite person. And I had been struggling with weight and joint issues been the longest time. And what actually sparked my passion for nutrition was when my own health hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
So it's kind of ironic when my love for food and using food as a way to comfort myself became such a problem. I came to study food nutrition and health because that was something I'm interested in, food. But when I was in the program, it was so ironic because people come into the program with the intention to help other people live the healthiest life possible, to help people thrive and be the fullest and the best versions of themselves. But I was suffering. I'm not sure, Michael, you know about the term the body mass index. It's what we use clinically to kind of put people in arbitrary categories, see how healthy their body weight is.
Yeah. I am very familiar with the other name for it is BMI, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with it, and I'm not a particularly big fan of BMI because it always said that I was unhealthy because I was for my height, my weight should have been more than what it was. But when I actually achieved it, there was one time I actually achieved what they thought was the right BMI, and my health plummeted.
You are absolutely correct, Michael. The BMI is only, like I said, a arbitrary measure of where you're supposed to be, but it doesn't apply for people who's petite or who's tall or who's more athletic, because our muscle waste is a lot denser than fat. So that kind of like it's an arbitrary measure. Mm-hmm. So for myself back then, there's three, just roughly from the middle, you have three steps up. So there's the normal and what they deem to be healthy, and then there's the overweight, what they define as clinically overweight, and then clinically obese. So I was not only in the overweight category, was borderlining at the overweight tipping point.
Right.
Wow. So that was when I developed a lot of health problems. To put it very, in a more visual way, you know, as a young 20-something person, you should have all the energy in the world, and, you know, I'm supposed to feel unstoppable. But that wasn't the case for me, because I cannot jump. Like, jumping for me is like pins and needles on my knees. And I had to ask a friend to actually put me on the railing of the stairs, so I can walk up one stairs to where I need to do my research. And that was it for me. Instead of trying on different diets that didn't work, and I decided to really delve into all the resources that was available to me to study what my body actually needs. And instead of working against it, I learned how to support my metabolism. I was eating more than I was eating before, and within 3 months, I was able to achieve a significant amount of weight loss, 20 pounds within 3 months. But I was eating more than ever before, and my energy was back to at least that can support me through the day, because I was working, I was supporting myself through school at the time.
So you were still in your 20s and in university. I just want to make sure I have the timeline straight.
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. Wow.
So, yes, you know, it's very, very heartbreaking for me at that point to learn that, you know, I just had to put up with this for the rest of my life. In my early 20s, I can't walk the stairs. Like, how is it going to be progressing 20, 30 years down the road? And I don't have the energy to socialize, to actually live to my full potential. So I really made it my mission to help others to know how wonderful their body is designed to feel.
So when you say you were eating more than you ever, but you were eating the right things to fuel your body so that you gained energy?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So basically there are foods that, you know, that brings us joy. For example, maybe a donut, chocolate.
Yeah.
a lot of processed food that was just easy that fills me. And, you know, a lot of college students go for easy things, and not just college students, but people who find that either they lack the skills to make their own food, or they just don't find the motivation to cook, say, if they live by themselves or they live with a small family unit, they don't find the motivation to prepare an elaborate meal every single day.
So, yeah, that is something that, because I am over 50. There's something that I noticed out of my children's generation is a lot of those kids just don't know how to cook. You bring up a really good topic. They think that if it doesn't come out of a box, then it's no good.
I hear you. I was exactly the same back then. I think, Michael, no matter at what age range you are, I don't like to assume, okay, you are at age now that you should be able to cook healthy things for yourself. Mm-hmm. For me, back then, back to your question, was just starting with the very simple ingredients. It's sometimes hard to wrap the mind around the concept of, you know, what healthy, like, where should I start if I have none of the skills to make something elaborate? There are simple things that I coach my clients to get started with. You know, you brought up a really good point, because for me, it was just that one starting point. Would you like to hear, you know,
what's that starting point? Go ahead.
Yes. Well, the starting point was just making basic meal plans for myself. Mm-hmm. Back then, you know, my blood sugar was not very regulated. So, you know, that kind of nagging feeling you get every few hours that you have to eat something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're too healthy for that, but I'm sure some audience out there can relate.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, because you just run out of, it's literally, you're like the gas tank that just ran out of fuel. So you got to stop off and refuel, right?
Yeah, it's like your body has the fuel, which was stored on me as fat, but the metabolism is not trained properly to use up the reservoir, so you stay lean, fit, and healthy,
mm-hmm.
And energized too. And you have the clear brain to focus on what you need to achieve for the day. So I was first thing first, you know, I just started with very simple ingredients. Something that doesn't need a lot of preparation. For example, a smoothie. And there's so many different healing ingredients and metabolism boosting ingredients that you can jam in there and have that as a snack. You can sip on it throughout the day. Or just having some apples and nuts,
mm-hmm.
to have in your bag throughout the day. And for meals, you know, boiling some eggs, a little bit of quinoa, some broccoli. And, you know, at night, I would just eat another egg and some vegetables, and that kept me really full for the first few months. And then the skill is like a muscle you build up over time. And eventually, I think for my clients, they find that sweet point. I'm not saying the literal sweet point, but they find their sweet spot. And they know, oh, I'm sort of like a spicy, salty person, or I'm more like a sweet, sweet person.
Yeah, it's pretty much like of a good protein right there.
Yeah, they eventually find that sweet flavor spot that really makes the process even more enjoyable for them.
Yeah, very cool. So, I guess that was something that I was taught as a kid is, you know, just to keep like the basic foods were always around, like you said, apples and nuts. growing up, my house was always full of like apples, pears, and there was always like a bowl of nuts around. There was never like bowls of candy or any of that sort of stuff around.
But it's very good fruit. Yeah, fruity
yeah.
Stuff.
It was fruit and nuts were always sitting around to snack on, I am guilty of some of this because growing up, I had the advantage that if it was like a cookie or something like that, it was completely made. My mother made them all from completely from scratch. Mm. There was no box
delicious.
Products. There was no box products in the house at all. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So. I understand what you're saying about the especially about the BMI, because the BMI worked against me in the other direction, because I was eating all these really cool foods the way I was taught by my parents, and I wasn't eating any of the processed stuff or any of that. And when you're 6'4" and you weigh about 90 pounds, people start to think there's something wrong with you. So, so it's like the BMI kind of worked against me in that direction also. Mm. So,
we're going to take a break.
Yeah.
So can you hold on there, Tayo?
Oh, of course.
All right. So we'll put you on hold, and we'll be back in a moment here on the Community Living Show.
I look forward to it.
Great.
And now, a three-minute segment with Michael Rubin Cloggs.
Welcome back to 3 Minutes with Michael. Today we're going to talk about influence. And one of the more important things about influence is the ability to give influence. And you saw a bit of that today with one of my Facebook posts. I introduced you to once again to one of my really good friends, Karen McGill. She had this really cool photograph taken of her. She looked really good. And, hey, I thought I would share the photograph and tell a little bit more about what she does for people with her being a coach. I also want to talk to you about the reason why I'm here in Langley Township. Is another good friend of mine wants to run for council here in Langley. And his name is Steve Ferguson. And he wants to help improve people's lives here in Langley Township. So I want to talk a little bit about the idea of community and how he wants to support community with better tax programs, better housing and school programs here in Langley Township. Things are really important to the community itself. So we were sitting here today and we're talking about some of the key issues around life in Langley Township. So those of you who really need to support community, you know, join in on the fundraising, the crowd funds, the click the donate buttons and things like that. So join in with our community and be part of it. You don't have to run for city council. You don't have to start a TV show, but there's other ways you can participate by just showing up and show up for your community. And remember, you can also live a balanced life.
The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of each year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting exclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and more. For more information, contact your local stations about the National Access Day. This is the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association networks. We will have our station ID call letters at the end of the program. I'm Kelly Rayburn. All across from me is Michael Rubin Cloggs. I'm going to get her name wrong again. Maybe you should say Michael.
Okay, we're here with Talia Sage. Mm. And it's even hard for me to say her name, right? And I'm actually reading it off the screen. And she's giggling with me.
I know.
And she's giggling at us. So, you know, we were having a bit of conversation off air about foods that boost our energy. And Ty and I have something in common with chronic pain. And she was also given some more advice about foods to help curb pain. So why don't you fill our audience in on some of those things?
That's wonderful, Michael. Such a great topic to bring up. And I want to share two parts to your question. First of all, pain is related, a lot of it is related and perceived to our mind. So the mindset is a huge part in pain relief. And the second part boils down to the technical side of things, what kind of foods that you could start incorporating into your daily routine now to start really relieving the pain and promoting your body to heal, because your body, believe me, it's wonderful, it's awesome, because it's there to support you to thrive and be your best. So mm-hmm. Shall we start with the mindset?
Yeah.
First?
Yeah, okay. Let's start awesome, with the mindset.
Let's go for that.
Awesome. Thank you, Kelly. I believe in a strong partner that you have with your body, because your body is the best doctor, and pain is actually a signal that your body has that makes you take action. And Harvard professor, Dr. Blasby, he is a very well-known doctor in researching pain management, and he works for a institute of Harvard, really helping patients holistically with their pain management. And I want to focus on today on the mind-body skills that our audience can use right away. So I have three tips for in regards to the mind-body skills.
Okay.
First of all, I want to introduce you guys to the idea of very simple one breathing technique that I help my clients to achieve pain relief. Just even increase the efficacy of whatever pain management treatments that they have at the moment, because it's well documented that with these skills, clients and patients experience significant amount of pain relief.
Okay.
Awesome. So right now, for people out there who's experiencing pain, or this could prepare you for next time when you feel pain, is this 4x4 breathing method. So instead of the normal 4, you inhale and slowly when you count till 4, and then you hold your breath for 4 seconds, and then you exhale slowly and as you count to 4. So do this process 2 to 3 times, or until you feel your body reach the state of calmness. And this is a really well documented method that's recommended by the Harvard professor.
Right. I think my Apple Watch just already did that for my breathing as well. and exhale for that matter.
Wonderful. Shall we demonstrate how we can put the mindful twist in this method to help our audience out there who's perhaps experiencing either physical or mental pain?
Okay, so why don't you walk us through the technique?
Okay, so great, Michael. I want you to, as you inhale, counting to 4, I want you to focus your mind on something that brings you peace and joy. Hold, and as you hold your breath, I want you to visualize the trust that you have in your body to heal and thrive. So hold your 4, and then I want you to exhale. I want you to just visualize you're getting rid of all the tension in your body that's causing the pain. So I want you to repeat that one more time and tell me how you feel. So hold for 4, and then exhale slowly as you count to 4. So letting go all the tension and focus on the one thing that came to mind first that brings you peace and joy.
Okay, coming here today, I had like a little tinge in my ankles and my shins. And it feels a little easier. Wow.
That's wonderful, Michael. I hope this method can be that something little that you can do throughout the day that just brings you more calmness and more control over whatever you're going through.
I was just watching Michael doing that procedure, so.
Yeah, it's pretty calming, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Wonderful. Okay. And shall we move on to the second?
Yes.
The second is everyone has their own range of flexibility. So my recommendation for the second tip, mindset tip, it also ties in with the first. It's called flexibility. So a lot of people approach is doing yoga, but I understand for a lot of beginners, yoga, like a lot of complex yoga practice, is not really tangible for them right now. So I just want to maybe, as probably everybody listening in is sitting in their chair, and I just want us to like loosen up a little bit and also just experience the benefit in a very, very like tangible way right now. Shall we give that a try?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want you to visualize that calmness you have achieved through the breathing exercise. And I want you to grab your elbow. Take your left hand and grab your right elbow and twist your body towards the left. So you're like grabbing your right elbow and twisting your entire body to the left side. As you feel the stretch, do you feel a good stretch right now?
Mm-hmm.
We're intentionally causing a little bit of tension and pain. And that's exactly why yoga and stretching exercises, whatever works best for you, that's really helping you build that skill to breathe in. Like as you breathe in and out, as you feel this tension, and you will see this stretching, this tension that you created goes away.
Reminds me of my softball practice from Special Olympics.
Yeah.
For, you know, I do mostly that with the warm-up myself. So.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. And this time, our approach is to really build that skill of you breathing in and out to release that tension and achieve a state of calmness and relaxation for the body. And that's why yoga has been one of the greatest gifts that I've been consistently doing for the past almost 10 years.
Right.
I literally looked like a penguin when I first started. I was very, very stiff. That's due to my arthritis. I think a lot of people struggling with arthritis out there, they have a lot of stiffness, and yoga might be something that they perceive as challenging, but just starting to breathe in and into that stretch, whatever stretch that you do, can help relieve pain and your ability to manage pain.
Very cool.
And that brings us to the third method, which is mindfulness. Mindfulness is really a great exercise that you can apply to every aspect of life, because when you focus your mind towards positive and beautiful things that brings you joy, it helps you distract you from the pain that you might be fighting with right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, Michael or Kelly, I want to invite you, if you want to join me in this activity, is to pick an activity that brings you joy. And I can share with you one of my favorite after this.
Okay, so pick an empty?
Activity that
activity.
Brings you joy.
Okay. Okay.
Wait, what is it?
My activities?
Yeah, tell her what it is.
Would you like to share with us?
Okay. My activity that I normally like to do is curling, Special Olympics.
Wonderful. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do that every Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And mine,
but mostly that's all practice.
Yeah.
So
hey, practice is still doing it, man.
Yeah, of course.
and Mine is actually walking along the beach, and sometimes I have a camera, and well, most times I have a camera.
So. Right.
Stopping to take the occasional picture.
So wonderful, and I want you to just imagine if you're in this situation right now, you're doing your favorite activity. I want you to hold on and also invite our audience to do that as well, to think about one activity that brings you joy. Mm. And we want to create that ripple effect in your life. So perhaps it's reading a book. And, you know, with one of my clients, she is struggling with arthritis herself. And she actually told me, you know, her cats bring her lots of joy. And just taking out the litter box to her, like, she's able to find the clarity and joy and focus during the process of taking out the litter box every day.
Right.
Right.
So that could be anything small that you can zoom in and focus on that joyful experience. It's going to help you manage pain in the long run, because the more you put your focus on appreciating the little things in life, the things that bring you joy, and rewarding yourself with more of those activities in your daily routine, your mind is going to rewire and being able to focus less on pain, because what we're doing, all the three techniques that we tried so far, are ways to really reduce the stress hormone in your body.
Oh, okay.
So when we have pain, or I mean, Michael, like, pain can be so it's such a wide topic, right? Mm-hmm. There could be mental and emotional pain. So not just like, ouch, right? It hurts, but like if you're going through depression or anxiety, it could be something that it's hard for you to share and open up with others. Those are pain too. And when your body have those, when you experience those emotions, your body tries to protect you, and it releases this hormone called cortisol, and it triggers that fight or flight response.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's as if you're running away from a bear or someone is attacking you. So all of these, it's increasing the stress hormone that's directly linked with increase in sensitivity of pain. That's according to Harvard researchers. When you are chronically, your body is releasing the stress hormone because you're experiencing mental, emotional pain. Your body, it actually is a vicious cycle that increases your sensitivity to pain, because it's trying to remind you that we can do something about it. And these are some of the proven techniques then that can help people ease themselves into a more calm and relaxed mindset, so that they can really take control over whatever they're fighting through.
Mm. Right. So in our society today, I suppose that some of those hormones, while they were really useful when we were actually being chased by that bear or tiger, may not be so useful to us in our current society, where the tiger is only perceived and is not actually a literal tiger.
You are absolutely right. In the ancient times, the danger is real, and it's only triggered occasionally. But when we're under pressure in our modern societies, things going on with work, with family, this kind of, just imagine like how worn out a person would feel if they're chased by that tiger 24/7.
Wow.
And I think
Usually the tiger would win?
let's learn how we can fight the tiger through nutrition.
Okay.
So that brings us to the second part of how you can really keep your mood up, keep yourself motivated when you're fighting through all of the pain, mental, emotional pain that we discussed earlier. I think given our time, I want to respect our host. I want to just pin down the two, highlight the two essential ones.
Okay.
Where I focus my mindfulness in is cooking. And this is where my expertise come in with nutrition. Like, what kind of nutrients the body needs to keep motivated mm-hmm. when it's down? So I highly recommend, right now it's the dead of winter. We don't have a lot of sunshine. So mm-hmm. what are you familiar with the sunshine vitamin, vitamin D?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, wonderful. So that actually, a lot of recent research has well documented the mood relationship with vitamin D status in our body. So when we have depleting resource in our body, we actually are more prone to feel depressed and anxious. If we live in North America, our geography does not allow us to store in all the beautiful sunshine mm-hmm. in the summer to last us for throughout the winter. So during this time, I highly recommend people who lives here to get on a great vitamin D supplement, because really it makes a difference. It interacts with your brain. It interacts with the hormone system in your body, and literally you will feel the difference, that you will feel more awake right. and more motivated.
Mm.
Okay. So
well, speaking of vitamin D, we probably need some more sunshine outside, but that's
yes.
pretty much the weather is going to be like. We're going to go on a break right now. So can you hold on for one more time?
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay.
No worries.
All right. So we're speaking with
Talia Sage.
Sage, who is the founder of Sweet Savory Health. And we will be back with her in just a moment. This is the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. We will be back in a moment. The Community Living Show is stories for the people with disabilities, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and many other issues, along with accessibility issues. If you want to participate and are a member of any of the NCRA radio stations, including this station that you're listening to in the area, or if you have any story idea and want to become involved in the technician personnel, please email us. Our email address is communitylivingradio@gmail.com. No experience necessary. People with disability or non-disability are welcome to the show.
Would you like to get updates on your smartphone in an emergency, even if a cell tower is down? It is possible if the FM chip is activated in your phone. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
You are listening to the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. I'm Kelly Reburn. Along with me is Michael, and we are talking about founder of Sweet Savory Health. And this person is?
Talia Sage. And
hello, everyone.
Okay, so.
And she's back.
So you said you were reaching desperately for your iPad to talk about power foods?
Yes. Power food, the power food assessment is one of the fun activities I go through with my clients mm-hmm. to really establish the current snapshot of what kind of foods they need more of, no matter where you are right now on your wellness journey. So
okay.
I invite you, if you and Kelly, if you're interested, I can walk you through maybe a part of this assessment and perhaps give you guys some tips.
Okay.
Sure.
Awesome. So the goal of this is to really determine what kind of food that you can have right now so that you can tap into your body's wisdom and establish a starting point so that you can grow your knowledge about what kind of food is best for your health right now and eventually really thrive by incorporating more of these foods into your diet. And I really want to make it fun and colorful for you guys. So it's broken down by colors.
Okay.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, just 4 sections. And I want to invite you to, because we want to use very, very, very simple measurement methods instead of using a scale. And because that's how you visualize foods on your plate as well. So I want you to take out your hand and put it in a fist. And that's actually like 1 serving size for most vegetables. Imagine, like, for example, broccoli, you chop it into little florets, and if you can pack in tightly, like, that's equivalent to the size of your fist, that's 1 size, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Of course.
So we're going to start with the green bitter foods.
Okay.
Green foods and green bitters are powerful cleansers for the liver. And for people who, like we talked about, in experiencing energy slumps and feeling not as motivated, they don't feel charged in the dreary rain, these foods often contain B vitamins, which is a really great vitamin to help you wake up your digestion. It helps to wake up your body so that you can take on whatever you need to take on during the day. So yeah. I want you to just
I was just saying that you're also talking to a person who's diabetic on type 2 as well.
That's absolutely even more applicable.
Yes.
Even more applicable because especially when your body needs to balance blood sugar, naturally the bitter foods is going to help cleanse your palate, first of all, and then the bitter foods has a really well-documented link with regulating and balancing your blood sugar levels.
Mm. Okay.
So think about for maybe the last week. Mm-hmm. You guys can shout out the numbers to me, okay?
Okay.
So during the last week, how many of the green or bitter greens you had? I'm going to give you some examples. And it's not 100% accurate because, you know, we're doing 2 people at once and we're on the phone, but just to give you an idea.
Mm. Okay.
You go.
Spring salad mix. You know, those salad mixes that you find in boxes in the supermarket. Make sense?
Right.
It could be spinach. It could be the top of beets when you buy a bunch of beets, the beet greens. Swiss chard, romaine lettuce, red leaf lettuce, arugula, endive, broccoli, dandelion greens, the dandelion leaves, organic clean ones.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
Not the ones we find on sidewalk.
Yeah.
Kale, or the tops of turnips.
Right.
Watercress.
Cucumber.
So we actually don't include cucumber in the green food.
Oh, okay.
But we could add it in here because it's all about adding your own and finding your personal approach. So cucumber, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Just in the past 3 days.
In the past 3 days, how many servings?
Yeah.
I'm up to about 6 servings so far. It's like at least two a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it includes some of my favorite vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm glad I'm doing a good job at providing examples.
Yeah, because I eat a lot of broccoli, and you didn't say it, but Brussels sprouts would also fit into there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
cabbage.
So yeah. It,
cabbage should be
cabbage.
One. And yeah, if you say Brussels sprouts. They're a small type of cabbage, am I right?
Mm.
A little bit.
I don't know. How does that work out?
Yes, that absolutely counts. And you bring up a very good point that I would love to cover after we finish both of our assessment, because we want to make this content more relevant for our audiences tuning in today.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So,
shall we move on to the second section?
Yeah, I was just going to suggest that.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, The second section, I labeled it as orange and yellow. These are the foods that you need to get in more into your life if you're someone who spends a lot of time with screen time, with your technology. Make mm-hmm. sense?
Okay.
I hope I'm making sense. And it really, think about these vegetables or foods as the little repair workers that helps to repair your body from the inside out. Not only it heals your immune system, it also protects anywhere that your body has membranes, such as your heart, your joints, your eyes, like we mentioned before, beautiful if you want to have beautiful, clear skin, and also sharp brain as well, because our brain is covered with the membrane, and orange and yellow colored foods has an affinity for that.
Okay.
Right.
So.
Okay. So if I can give you some examples, it could be orange, yellow peppers, yellow beets.
I was just carrots. Thinking about that.
Yeah.
Good. I read your mind. Butternut, acorn, or any of those winter squashes.
Yes, that if too. I was thinking about that too. Yes.
Pumpkin counts, right?
Yeah, pumpkin counts.
Not it doesn't count if it comes in a pie.
True.
No, we actually cook, buy the pumpkin, cook the pumpkin, grind it up into a puree, and then mix it into soups, muffins, sort of stuff.
That kind of pumpkin.
Love that. And this one might come as a surprise for you, because we're talking about that yellowish pigment. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, on the supplement shelves, you might see like lutein, or the doctor might prescribe you, get a lutein supplement because it's good for your eyes. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about something that might not be visually green, visually orange. It looks kind of green. We're talking about zucchinis here. So zucchini falls into this category.
Oh, the green,
potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, potatoes, yellow, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how are you doing here?
Well, I had a mix of peppers in the past couple of days. It was in like a stir fry sort of thing, and with a variety of peppers and mushrooms and things like that in it. So yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have at least one serving that way.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And so let's move on to the third section, the red, purple, and black foods. Okay. These foods are really applicable for our audience if they're struggling with pain, because these are great antioxidant powerhouses that come into your body, that cleans up the free radicals to keep your body pain-free, because it reduces the inflammation drastically and protecting your blood vessel from aging as well. So if you are struggling with like blood pressure problems, or if you're struggling with diabetes, these are the two that's really highly applicable. So are you ready for some examples?
Now, hang on a moment. You're saying black as in dark black stuff. Not dark red stuff.
It actually all fall into this category: red, purple, and black.
Oh, okay.
So, shall we illustrate this group a little bit more with some examples, and you guys can shout back your reflection when
all
you're
right.
ready.
Okay.
So, I invite you to think on the past 3 days: beet, blackberry, blueberry, black lentils, black rice, eggplant, pomegranate, not the fruit juice in bottles, but actual whole pomegranate, purple cabbage, purple fig, prune, red peppers, raspberries, strawberries.
Well, I had some red bell pepper. Like I say, it was part of that stir fry, and the strawberries, yeah.
Awesome. So, How many servings would you say, like half servings count as well?
Oh, I probably say in the past couple of days, like maybe if I mash them all together, maybe I'd come up with a whole serving.
Okay, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So moving on to the last section, which is kind of a surprise for you. White food is something that kind of hides in the background because they are not really colorful, doesn't grab our attention. But this is super applicable for healing pain and mm-hmm. calming down the inflammation, really healing for the entire body because they contain sulfur compounds. And they are so great for strengthening your bones, tissues, joints, muscles, and maintain the health of your blood vessels.
Okay.
And just to give you some examples, cauliflower, mushrooms, garlic, onion, fennel, turnips, parsnips.
Yeah, I thought about cauliflower. I didn't realize the mushrooms. I thought mostly mushrooms were kind of brown, for that matter.
But it's a white food?
Yes. Huh. So for the their healing property, we're putting it under this category.
Okay. All right. Because I've had the mushrooms, and you know, one of my favorite things to do is to take onions and garlic and throw them into a hot pan with olive oil in it and get everybody in the neighborhood hungry.
Yeah. I thought about the cauliflower. Yeah. That was mostly it. But
yeah, that's a good point because I love cauliflower too. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So how many servings would you say you had in the past few, like 3 days?
Well, if you had what? Cauliflower soup or something like that?
Yeah, that would be a great way to up your white foods intake.
Right.
I would say
that would be about 2 to 3 servings or something.
Yeah, I'd probably be in about the same, like 3 servings. Because, like I said, I started a lot of things. I use a lot of garlic, onions, and then I had the stir fry with the mushrooms in it too, right?
Yes, that's so great. So, given your assessment, Michael, would you like to hear your results?
Okay.
Yes. So, I think you would really benefit from improving your orange yellow foods intake. Mm-hmm. If you really want to break through the glass ceiling and get your wellness to the next level, orange and yellow foods is going to really heal your body from the inside out. And especially during the winter time, it's really protective, as you mentioned before, for your joints. Mm-hmm. It's going to really repair and rebuild your collagen because it's promoting the collagen fiber to grow in your body, and that's why it's so healing for your joints.
All right, we're just pretty much out of time.
Yeah.
So we're going to get your information, how they get to you and everything like that.
Wonderful.
Okay.
So how they get a hold of you.
So I invite our audience to tune in on my website, Sweet and Savory Health. It's spelled the Canadian way, so S-A-O-U-R-Y. There's an hour in the savory. And also invite you to connect for weekly doses of wellness inspiration on Facebook. If you search in your search bar, Talia Sage, that's spelled as T-A-H-L-I-A Sage. And I have so many wellness tips there and inspiration for you. I invite you guys to check me out, and I hope to support you on your wellness journey, no matter where you are.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Talia.
Thank you.
And it was great meeting you over the weekend. And I hope to talk to you again really soon, okay?
Thank you, Michael and Kelly, so much for having me on your show today.
All right.
Yeah. Take care now.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
So that was
Talia Sage,
the founder of Sweet and Savory Health.
Yeah.
All right. So if you want to get in contact with us, our email address is communitylivingradio@gmail.com. We are on three different stations. If you hear something in the background, that's all the party noise in the background here on CITR 101.9 FM. We're streaming online at CITR.ca. We broadcast every Tuesdays from 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoons. We're also on Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM and streaming online, Coop Radio, on one word, cooperadio.org. And we're also on the Program Exchange, NCRA Program Exchange, previous.ncra.ca. We're still hoping to find CHLY somewhere around that facility. So,
yeah, yeah. If you're visiting this area and you like what you hear from out of us, is like when you get back home, contact your local station and ask them contact us so they can subscribe to a download of the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael.
All right.
And thank you to our guests. Hope to hear from you back next week. Do we have anything next week?
I'm not exactly sure next week, but okay.
There'll be something.
Yeah. There's a possibility that we'll have
somebody on the show.
Somebody on, yeah, yeah.
All right.
Always looking for something. And in the next few weeks, we will be having, of course, our music special, our Christmas music special.
Okay.
And that would be the second Tuesday of December.
Okay, sounds good.
I don't remember the actual date.
All right.
We'll get that up on Facebook as an event also.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. You have been listening to the Community Living Show. We will be back next week. Same time, same station. Have a great day.
Right.
Stay tuned for upcoming shows. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. My music hits me so hard, makes me say, oh my Lord,
oh!
Fuck blessing me, what am I doing?
Touch this. You can't touch.
touch this. You can't touch this. Break it down.
Oh, 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 oh.
This. You can't touch this.
Oh, oh, oh.